Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The decision to stand or not stand for the national anthem, the decision to put your hand over your heart or behind your back, the decision to kneel or to protest in some other way is such a personal decision. And Drew Brees was giving his personal perspective. But in doing so, at least in the audio that we've heard over and over, didn't seem like he left room for other people to make that decision that is personal to them. It's hard because if you have followed Drew Brees throughout his career, you know that the man is so well-respected. He's such a great leader. Forget the football part of things. He's compassionate. He's a husband. He's a dad. He's a lover of New Orleans. He's grateful for the opportunities. He's given so much back. And so I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And in the case of Drew Brees, there's no way you could ever convince me the man is racist or meant to say the protest shouldn't happen. What he was saying was a personally for him that he would never agree with that decision. But how often do we know the best of intentions fall by the wayside? And in the supercharged atmosphere that we're in, of course, what he said was going to incite a major reaction because it felt like it completely missed the mark. Tone deaf is the phrase that I've used a couple of times. I use that same phrase about Blake Snell when he was talking about, I'm going to get mine, my money, when there are millions and millions of Americans who are out of work and struggling to figure out how they'll buy groceries versus how they'll pay their bills. So it came across tone deaf. And it got quite a reaction. A conversation that dominated all of Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you missed it, Drew was responding to a question on Yahoo Finance about whether or not he thought there would be a return to kneeling during the national anthem as a protest this upcoming season in response to what we've seen in our nation the last week.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II. Is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
Again, I love Drew Brees, but he comes across preachy. Like he's saying, this is the way to show unity, and it's the only way to show unity. It's a personal decision. Not everybody makes the same one. And Malcolm Jenkins had a couple of different videos on his Instagram, one of which he deleted. There were some harsh words, and he later explained it. He later tried to clarify, but he's very emotional in his response to Drew.
We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments who express those and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
I mean, Malcolm Jenkins, again, another guy that I really respect for the fact that he's put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. I mean, he's been all out there on the front lines trying to be part of the problem. He was doing the same thing Drew was saying, only he was being intentional about it. Like, dude, you know, you don't get to tell us how to do this. You don't get to dictate how we respond to the national anthem. And he was also making a sweeping generality himself that you're part of the problem, or people who think like you are part of the problem. I mean, it was, he was emotional, he was upset, and he responded with some really harsh words. Now, again, he later deleted one video and tried to explain, tried to say, hey, I was very emotional about it. And he put this tweet out later. I recorded a few videos when thinking of how to respond to Drew Brees. I don't take any of it back. I meant what I said. I removed the first video because I knew it to be more about the headlines. I want people to understand how those of us struggling with what's going on feel. So he was in a situation where he spoke initially, was frustrated, he was emotional, and we're seeing a lot of that. And sometimes we can want the same things, but our messages, they either put people off or offend people, or they miss the mark. And in the case of Drew Brees, I don't think he wanted to offend anyone. I don't think that he was trying to tell people what to do. But it doesn't mention the actual reason that his teammates and others were kneeling. It talks about why he won't. And it came across as out in left field. So there's a meeting of the minds at the mound, and he's out in left field. However, conversation ensued, and I think that's extremely important. Sometimes we can stumble into it. Maybe Drew Brees is the sacrificial lamb on this day. But it's important to continue having the conversation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. What kind of conversations are you having this week about what's happening in our nation with your family, with your friends? How are you talking about it? I know in my own conversations with family and friends, we've talked about what's happening. We've talked about how does it get better. We've talked about what we're seeing. We've talked about the fact that peaceful protests are not the same thing as looting and rioting, and how too often that gets grouped together when that's not fair, right? The majority of people are protesting peacefully. We've talked about the fear and the heightened pressure on law enforcement that many, very, very often, I would say very often, sometimes often can lead to, because of their fear, because they feel like they're under attack and they're being targeted, that they're trigger happy. And I don't just mean with the bullet, with the gun. I mean, they're the ones that are under so much pressure and under so much scrutiny, but they're also the ones who have the power. And so you have this mix of, again, this is a conversation I had with a friend. You have this mix of them being fearful because there are many people who are targeting law enforcement for no other reason than they're wearing a uniform. Let's be honest, that's happening too. And so they're nervous and they're on edge and maybe haven't been trained completely and maybe haven't had the right conversations, and the situation can escalate. But the thing is, law enforcement, they're the ones with the power, so they have extra responsibility. They're the ones carrying the guns. They're the ones who have the ability to hurt people with those guns or with their batons or whatever else they choose. And I say this a lot, to whom much is given, much is required. If you are in a position of power, you have greater responsibility. And so all of these are conversations that I'm having with friends and with family. And I would love to know what type of conversations you're having with friends and family. Robinson says on Twitter, my wife and I have been having dialogue with our extended family and our 11 and 13-year-old daughters and also our adult son about the protests, the rioting, the looting, why it's happening, what it means to us as an American Hispanic mix family. Yeah, the conversations with kids, those are ones I wish I had the privilege of having. I don't at this point in my life, but man, those are heavy conversations. How do you explain to a kiddo this kind of fear, this kind of outrage, this kind of injustice, and do it in the way that the kid can understand? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, it's good to have you, 855-212-4227. Greg is in Houston. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. I haven't talked to you in a long time, and this has kind of brought me out in a lot of different ways. I have a friend. We talk often. She lives in Kansas, and we've talked about this. And I think the sad thing of all of it in the last week is just that the outrage, it's understandable, it's palpable. And what I always try to explain to people is this. We always aspire to be a great country, and we are. But this is a time, whether it's through sports, whether it's through faith, whether it's through our lives in general, that a lot of the things that we talk about, that we've put aside, that we've ignored, to finally come out in the open, whether it's through the pandemic or even an incident like this in Minneapolis, it's kind of forced us to come to deal with things that we don't like dealing with, that
sure.
we feel uncomfortable about.
Absolutely.
And sadly, there always will be people who will take advantage of this for their own gain or their own advantage. And all I ask of any of us right now is have that open dialogue. Be honest with your frustrations. Be honest with your fears. Be honest with your questions. And one of the things that impressed me yesterday, I don't know if anybody has seen it, you'll find it in Zoom, I guess, with the Texans coach, Bill O'Brien. And he was heartfelt in his responses about race, about life, about the situation in this country, and about his dealings with his players and the organization and how we as a society have to come to grips with this now. Because for too long, we've always kind of, well, we've moved on to the next thing. This time we can't. And this time we shouldn't.
Shouldn't, yep.
And this isn't about whether you agree with Colin Kaepernick or not. Those who support him have to also understand that the very military people, like my dad served in the Second World War. He fought for the very rights that we all have to protest, to demonstrate, mm-hmm. and to express ourselves. And those who don't understand the frustration right now, think of it this way. Let's say you were in a place and you wanted justice and you thought that the system was going to work for you, and time after time after time you felt, if you perceive that it didn't, because it didn't. And at some point, it'll come to a boil. Or maybe this way, let's say you bathe a stew, you put it on a stove, and first you let it simmer. Then you turn the heat up a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Then you walk away from it. And then the pot boils over because you weren't watching. That's what's happening now.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at your analogy. Just doesn't really matter what I thought of it. But thank you, Greg. I'm sorry. I don't know where I was thinking about how it was kind of a long drawn out punchline to the story, or you know, like the dramatic conclusion to the story. But that really took away from what you were saying, which was very thoughtful. So please forgive me. I'm sorry.
Years, Amy, I've listened to you when you're
until now.
Place. I've called you frequently.
Thank you.
And I still am a fan. I love this show. And I can say this, I've always enjoyed talking to you because you respect everybody's view and you give us all a chance to understand and talk and
well,
be open about the discussion.
Okay. I appreciate that, even after I just laughed right in the middle of what you were saying. So please forgive me again.
No problem.
thank you, Craig. I've told you before, I laugh at the worst times. I don't even laugh because it's funny. I just, I don't. Please excuse me. Chris, want to hear something? This seems like the right time. I don't know why. Maybe because I just backed myself into a corner and I'm an idiot. I saw this on Twitter and I'd like to read it to you. It has nothing to do with the topic of the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. This is verbatim, a tweet that I saw earlier that I have read a half dozen times and still have no idea what it means. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom.
Is that from The Onion or is that a real headline?
It's a real headline from someone who's verified. It's actually a story on the Associated Press, but I don't understand what the Spanish porn star has to do with toad venom or a mystic ritual or why he got arrested and what his aromatic candles had to do with it either.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like there's a lot of detail in that headline. That is taking clickbait to an entirely new level. There's about six things in that headline that we just didn't need to know for any reason whatsoever.
No, in case we needed some comic relief, I'm going to read it again quickly this time. Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. What?
That's the title of my fourth book.
I don't want to know the title of your other three books. I don't get it. Like, I keep reading it, and I just don't know what's happening here. So
sounds like he had quite the day at the office, and then he decided to partake in some even more adventurous circumstances.
But what does the porn star have to do with it?
I guess maybe to understand somebody who would partake in toad venom, you might understand that they have a promiscuous lifestyle to begin with.
But like, does this mean his aromatic candles were full of toad venom?
No, I think that's just for more context. I think they're just saying he, in order to fully understand this man and his quest.
Oh, so you're saying the aromatic candles shaped like stuff, like junk, they have nothing to do with the manslaughter charges. That's just explaining who he
that's
is.
That's his claim to fame.
Oh my gosh. I was sitting here thinking that the aromatic candles shaped like, you know, have something to do with the toad venom.
No, that's just giving you a lot of reasons to click on this article.
It's just explaining who this guy is, in case you don't know who he is.
His biography will be the next. So we had the MJ doc, we had Lance Armstrong, and then the next one
Nacho
is going to be
Vidal.
Right, this is going to be this.
So
guy.
It should read this. Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom.
Or Nacho Vidal, comma, best known for his work with candles, comma, was arrested after toad venom.
Candles
incident.
Is not nearly as descriptive. I get it now. Okay, I thought the candles had, with their special shapes, had something to do with the toad venom and the man's death.
No.
Now I understand. What would I do without you? You are the cool kid here in the crowd. Whew, got to the bottom of that mystery. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get back to your phone calls. Thanks so much for joining us. That was my comic relief, by the way. It was totally inappropriate. I will readily admit to that. It's CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The people that the message is trying to get through to, you know, are unwilling to accept the message, you know, and when you're combative and defensive about something you don't even fully understand, that there can't be progress. So whenever somebody says, hey, this black man got killed on national TV in front of the world, there should be a sense of anger from everybody, regardless of race, regardless, because it was just wrong. It was just unacceptable. Everybody gets to see their day in court. And there's been a ton of images, you know, out there, you know, flowing around about the two kids who shot up the church and who killed all those mass murderers, and how they gave them, you know, not only did they peacefully arrest them, but they gave them a vest, you know, took them to go get lunch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Richard Sherman, outspoken, passionate, always willing to share his opinion. And let's be honest, he very often rubs people the wrong way, ruffles a lot of feathers, but doesn't care, and continues to speak his mind, here's where the problem lies. Here's another example of the problem. And I really appreciate his point about if you come to the table with a defensiveness and being combative, the conversation's already dead in the water. And that's something that's hard for me because, and I'm not going to go into all the psychoses of it, but because I've had to fight and scratch and claw for everything my whole life, and because of the industry that I'm in and the it's a different type of discrimination, but the discrimination that I've faced, I have a hard time letting my guard down. I have a hard time not fighting. So a lot of times I have a hard time letting go of my combativeness and my defensiveness, especially when I feel like I have to be in fight mode, right? So when someone's coming at me, my natural reaction is to get into fight mode. That doesn't help when you need to have a conversation that's difficult. It doesn't help when you need to be open-minded and open-eared to something you don't understand or something maybe you don't agree with, you don't see it the same way. So it's always a step that I have to take intentionally. Leave the defensiveness at the door. That does not help any. And even if I don't agree, it's okay because we don't all have to agree. So that point from Richard Sherman was huge for me to hear and to just be reminded of. If you come with defensiveness, if you come in a combative nature, nothing's getting done. It's not, and this was an incredible point. Well, point. I mean, this is not something that that is unique or that I think should be a revelation for people. But I do appreciate that Marquise Goodwin put it out on Twitter a couple of days ago because it's so true. It's not white versus black. It's everyone versus racism. Just what Richard Sherman was saying. You should be outraged, regardless of the color of a person's skin, when a man is held down with a knee to his neck for 8 minutes. And nobody, well, the co-workers, the other law enforcement officers, that's the part that I can't get over. Yes, that the man who, Derek Chauvin, the officer who is now charged with second-degree murder, he killed him. But how can you stand by and watch it and not do something? And so we should all be outraged and heartbroken and upset, and whether you choose to protest or whether there's something else that you do or a conversation that you have, it's not only black people. It's not white people versus black people, and we're on those sides. It's everyone should be outraged at that racism. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Tony, who's in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Great. Thank you.
I'm just sitting here trying to think about what I'm going to say and probably say it the right way. The Drew Brees thing, I think he's missing the issue. The main issue is, I mean, I've got family on that's in law enforcement. My father and grandfather they served this country, and with I think Drew Brees is missing is that the issue is not about the flag. The flag symbolizes our country. It's what the flag is supposed to stand for and what our country is supposed to stand for. It's for freedom and equal opportunity. And we have not had equal opportunity. That's the problem. So when we kneel, we're kneeling because what this flag is supposed to represent, it doesn't represent us because we don't have equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is racism is always going to be there. And we know racism is taught. It's passed down from generation to generation. And I had a conversation with my wife, and until we stop seeing color, nothing's going to change. I don't say I have white friends. I'm a black man. I don't say I have white friends. I have
friends.
A friend.
Yes.
Because I look at him as a human being. He's just like me. Doesn't matter what color skin he has, what nationality you are. None of that matters because mm-hmm. he's my friend.
Right.
And I don't say I have white friends. I don't say I have black friends. But the one thing I've learned is that you can have some racial tendencies and not really realize it because of how you were raised and who you've been around and the conversations that you had. This problem has been an elephant in the room for a long time, and nobody wants to talk about it. And I was thinking about this. It was like with the pandemic going on, and we can't have distractions from sports and our regular life. I'm like, this was the perfect storm
yes.
for this to be exposed and to be talked about. See, because now there's no distractions.
Mm-hmm.
See, people aren't going to work. People don't have sports to turn to and watch. And the other thing is I'm noticing a lot of, you know, I'm using the word white because I want to say this, because I've learned that in any movement that, you know, African-Americans have, we've always had somebody of Caucasian whose voice carries and has weight and who's in power. And what I'm hearing now is a lot of people of Caucasian that, because you know how we think. If it's not affecting me directly, I'm not going to say anything. But now it's sad that it took this man to lose his life to make people think about, you know what, enough's enough. By actually seeing that on a video, I can't even watch that anymore.
No, I can't either.
But when it did, when it shook people to the core, like, you know what, I've mm-hmm. been standing by on the sidelines, and because it's not directly affecting me, but this right here, I really need to say something. And that's what's going on right now. I'm looking at the protests, and it's mixed.
Yes.
Everybody is like, enough's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way it's going to change is until people stop seeing color. That's the only way it's going to change. That's the only way change is going to. We're going to have to work together. And sometimes you may say something, and you don't know it, but you actually expose how you really felt.
Sure.
Without even really knowing that you're like that.
Sure. Well, that's,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's human nature. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What's in your heart comes out your mouth eventually.
You go. And it doesn't make you a bad person. It's just that it's like people can see your faults that you can't see.
Oh, yeah, blind spots. We have blind spots.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. And you may not know that you've had that blind spot there that whole time. But when you say something and people recognize it, and it's really about, I'm going to end it and I'll let you hear you talk. It's really about people just looking in the mirror and getting honest with themselves and be really willing to face, like, what is it about me that I need to change?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to hang up and I'm going to listen.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. And I hope that you'll call again. Tony in Massachusetts. Yeah, I mean, he makes a great point. And I started the last hour, so it was about 90 minutes ago, talking about how I had to change my thinking and change my reaction when people would come at me with, well, that's how it felt, when people would say to me, you have white privilege. And instantly, I would get defensive and say, no, I don't. I grew up poor to a single mom. A good portion of my elementary school years, we were in a trailer park. We ate canned goods. I mean, we were not, you know, there was no privilege there. And I would get defensive about my, you know, my drug addict deadbeat dad that I have no relationship with. How is that privilege? And I would think about all the ways that I had to work doubly hard to get where I am and how I've always, essentially my entire life, lived paycheck to paycheck. How is that privilege? But it took some real introspection, and it took sitting quiet, thinking about it, praying about it, realizing what people were trying to say to me, that the privilege part wasn't about my circumstances. It was about not having to deal with the type of racism just off the top because of the color of my skin. Did I ask to be born white? No. But because of the racism that has always existed, there's a privilege to not being black. And I hate it. I can't stand that phrase. It irks me. But it now that I understand what it means, I don't get defensive. Instead, I try to spot it and try to make sure that it's not something that that at least in my own personal life, that is allowed to continue. So I understand. It's just it's conversation. It's hard conversation. It has to be had. It has to be done. And I love that Tony points out there's nothing else to take us away from it right now. Even the coronavirus has been put on the back freaking burner. It's just it's almost like it doesn't exist. It does, but the conversation is no longer there on a national scale. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, thanks for joining us. What are the conversations you're having this week? Even the tough ones, because it's really important what's happening right now.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
People talk about, you know, getting back to normalcy and getting back life to normal, and normal's not good enough. And clearly what we saw a few days ago, normal's not even close. We all got to be better. And, you know, racism is happening daily. And so we all got to be aware of it and do our part.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, do I love that from Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. We all talk about getting back to normal. Normal's not good enough. I mean, that's such a powerful statement, and yet it's so plain. It's so simple. It's so appropriate for this time in our nation's history. Why? Because all we've talked about for months is getting back to normal in the scope of the virus. And now he's saying, no, we can't go back to normal because normal's not good enough. Yeah, that blew me away the first time I heard it. And every time I hear it again, it really resonates with me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What conversations are you having with your family and friends this week as we survey the landscape? Maybe you've jumped in. I've seen a lot of athletes, of course, who have participated in protests because those are the ones that get the TV time, let's be honest. And there have been hundreds of thousands of people in peaceful protests around the United States and in other countries as well. And I've heard someone say that this marks the largest civil rights movement in the history of our globe because of the number, the sheer volumes of people who are participating, which in and of itself is great. But when the emotion wears off and when people go back to their lives and I mean, people have to get back to work. We know that that's still a struggle in our nation and will be for a long time. When the emotion peters out, because it will for the majority of people, what's left? What did we change? And that's where the conversation comes in, because nothing gets done without communicating and talking about it. When people talk, good things happen. That's a motto that I've had for the show for a really long time. I stole it from some insurance company, I think. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Bill is listening in California. Welcome to After Hours. Bill.
Hello, this is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I feel that Drew Brees got kind of ambushed by this interviewer in asking a question that he knew the answer was going to be, and Drew wasn't going to change his answer, and that's the whole thing about this kneeling down during the national anthem. People feel one way or the other, and they're not going to change the way they feel. Now, they'll listen, but they're not going to change, so it's counterproductive to argue about it. All it did for Kaepernick is he lost his job, a thing he loved doing. So that's the way I feel about it. But I really have thought this thing through, and I think there is a way to go about when we move forward. And you can't depend on the NAACP to do anything, because they haven't done anything for the African community in this regard for years. And I think that what you said LeBron James was talking about this. I think with his money and influence, he could contact the MAD people, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and get some kind of an organization formed for to fight this kind of police brutality and to change the whole thing about it. Because, like, drunks were, at one time, we laughed about them. Remember Dean Martin and everything? It was always a funny joke and everything when somebody was drunk. Well, they kept killing people. And finally, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving changed America's thinking about drunk drivers. And I think the same thing can happen. It'll be gradual, but I think that things can change, and to the better. And it's terrible. If I had been there when this was happening to this poor guy, I think I would have probably be in jail right now, because I would have kind of snuck up behind him and kicked him in the kidneys, and he would have been over. He would have just... Then
yeah, but it wouldn't have even taken that, though, Bill. You know that? It would have just taken a shove. I mean, I have a hard time understanding. I don't know how many of us would have stood by, or maybe we say we wouldn't have stood by, and then we wouldn't have been paying attention. I don't know. I'd like to hope, same as you, that I would have done something, and that there's no way that would have happened if I was standing right there. I do appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much. And you make a good point. A lot of times it's about organizations and organizations that promote talking and that put money behind the problem, and that take a loud stand, a vocal stand, and make sure that their voices are heard, and that they don't go away, and that they don't fade when change isn't immediate. And it took Bill a minute, but I understand what he's saying about Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Now, I don't remember Dean Martin being a joke about drunk. I don't, that's way before me. But I do understand what he's saying about how drunk driving became so much more of a serious situation, and something to be taken seriously once there was, there were more organizations and there was money thrown behind it, and people got organized and made sure that they were tenacious and refused to go away until changes were made, changes to the laws in some case. And so I do get Bill's greater point. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. What are the conversations that you're having with your families, with your friends, around what's taking place and what's playing out in all of our major cities in the United States? And there are still curfews, obviously, in many cases. Peaceful protests continue, though. And I like what one of our callers said earlier about how so many of the protests have been every color under the rainbow. I think that's fantastic. I mean, there are people who are not making this white versus black, but everyone being outraged against this type of racism, or any type of racism, but the kind we saw on display. And the calls to action are all over the place. And so those are things that I appreciate. But then what happens? What happens next? Where do we go from here? And that's where the conversation comes in. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Deborah says, I appreciate you allowing listeners to speak about their experiences. This week is so emotional. Viewing the murder was traumatizing. The world is expressing shock. Yes, for sure. What happens when the shock wears off? And it will. I mean, that's just human nature. I'm not saying it becomes any less shocking, but we as humans won't be in that state of shock, anger, and outrage. We don't stay there. We don't live there. So then what happens? What follows? The action needs to follow. Jim on Facebook, our kids thanked us for raising them to be accepting and loving of everyone. We shared with them that we weren't always like that growing up, that we carried the seeds of racism and had to and continue to fight to overcome that racism in our own hearts. Jim, I appreciate that testimony and that personal perspective. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. This is nothing to do with the conversation that we've been having around Drew Brees, but if you were with us earlier this hour when I read the tweet that I didn't understand, I'll read it again just because it's you have to hear the tweet to understand the follow-up from Kevin, who just responded. I'm going to go through it quickly. Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candle shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. I've read this so that Chris can explain it to me. He finally made me understand that the whole part about the candles and their special shapes, that had nothing to do with the arrest and the manslaughter charges. But I was thinking, what do the candles have to do with toad venom? So here is Kevin's explanation on Twitter, Chris. Adult entertainer on drugs with candle-making side hustle. Arrested for the death of a man during a cult rite. And then he follows it up with, simple enough. Wait, what?
I mean, a man of few but effective words, Kevin is with his response there. But, you know, I was thinking about this.
Adult entertainer.
And this is going to be one for the cheese vault right here. But you might want to call this headline porn, one might say.
What? Yes, cheese.
Extra cheddar.
Oh, heavens. Spanish porn star. Nacho Vidal. I don't think I'll ever forget that name. I do tend to have trouble with names, remembering names. I don't think I'll ever forget that name. What conversations are you having with your family and friends about what's happening in our country this week? I'd like to hear from you on Twitter or Facebook. We still have our phone number as well, 855-212-4227. And Thursday, a big day for the NBA. We'll explain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.